Hi, everybody. Glad you're with us here today. Welcome. Welcome to the Global Light. We got a lot going on here today, so we've got some fascinating things taking place. I do want to share with you a little bit over here. Let me move right over into this other position so I can kind of share with you a little better. But basically, we've got several things here over the 20 some odd years that I've been channeling the group, more than 25 years now. We've got, there's times when the group makes up words. There's time when the group uses a word to describe something different than the way everybody else uses it. There's also concepts and things that they've described that we just don't have any reference for. So what we've done here, and this was one of our staff's idea. This was Elena's idea, Elena Era in Greece. She came up with this one of our staff meetings, and we decided to do it. So we've started it. We've started the library. The library is a little place where you can go online here on our site and you can find little videos about different things. Let me show it to you. That'll probably be the best way to do this. Okay, front page of the website here, and beautiful front page here. It changes pretty regularly. Thank you, Elena. That's Elena also. If you'll come over here, you'll see that we've got all these different things over here on the menu. If you just go under watch, you can go to the Espavo Library. That's a brand new piece that is there. I'll show you what this looks like. This is the library that's here right now. It only has about 9 different videos in it, but this is going to be the start of it. And this is just the kind of message about why we're doing it, what's going on. But if you have a question about who is the group, or what is the higher self according to the group, or what is a light worker, or what any of these other questions, right now there's only about 9 of them. I actually believe that in a fairly short time, we'll end up somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 to 40. That's what the group has in mind because they want to cover certain things. And every time I sit down to do this, they give me a few more to do. So we'll be doing a few of these for a while. It is free of charge. Please feel free to go in there and look. It's a brand new segment on called the library, the Espavo Library. So welcome today. We'll get moving here in just a minute because we do have a lot to cover here today. But I just want to let you know that there's some things going on that have not been described in the news. We're going to talk about a little of what's going on with the Earth today. This will be the second channel that we're also going to talk about it a little bit in the first channel and work on it when we hold hands and do our work together in the healing circle. We're also going to work on that here. But there's some really interesting things that have taken place recently, and they're only recently. Many of you have maybe felt these in different ways. Number one, there are things going on the internet. If you haven't noticed them, you will notice them. In other words, sometimes we're looking at longer lag times. We're looking at longer download times. Sometimes you press a button and nothing happens for a little while. These are things that are taking place on a global basis. And quite honestly, only a few people really know what's going on with this, but there are changes that are taking place that are actually showing up on the internet as well as other places as well. Now, next month in the overview series, in the Observer's Overview series that he's going to talk about, Earth Overview, we're going to do a one-day segment, which is 2 hours long, but it's just one segment on the overview series. And it's all going to be about this process of what's going on with the Earth. We want to talk about, actually, that's going to be 2 from now. I do apologize. It's going to be 2 months from now. The next one's going to be about No More Secrets, which is a really interesting thing. The group's been talking about that for years, but we're going to be doing that. The month after that, we're going to get into some of the Earth changes, some of the things that are going on, and some of the fascinating pieces. But I can't wait to start this Friday, because this Friday, we're going to start with a new segment, a new part of the EES for the manifestation. This is the 5D manifestation matrix. How do we build our own matrix? What is the matrix? Matrix is simply the things that are necessary to create these things, so getting everything in order, getting our systems in order, so to speak. And basically, we're building a 5D manifestation matrix. Now, for those of you who've been in the EES and the Espavo Empowerment Stream, you know that we've been building, we've been working with the Creator Series anyway, and we've been building up to, we did one on relationships last month on how do we connect with two creators working together in an intimate relationship, a very interesting piece. And then we're talking about different aspects of this as we go along. Well, now we're going to get right into the manifestation process. And they want to do this because it's different than what we've even taught years before. We are now starting to evolve very quickly in different ways. And the group wants to bring in the newest, latest information along that path to be able to do that. So that's one of the things that we'll be working with here coming up. But welcome. Hope you go enjoy the library. We're working on it quite a bit. There's a lot more to come. And if you have suggestions of things that you think might be missing in the library or things that we can help with, drop us a little note. You can actually just put it right into that into the little box down at the bottom, the little thing that has the question marks in it. You can leave a comment there for us if you like. I do see almost all the tickets that go through. I don't answer them. We have a wonderful lady in a different part of the United States here that handles all that for us. So we're doing really well with these pieces here, but I do see them. And I do see them as they cross my desk. So if you have suggestion or something of that nature, drop it in there. Might be good, and I'll be able to pick it up and try to make one of the segments all about that to be able to work with that. So glad you're all here today. We've got so many things going on. It's absolutely amazing. One of the things we're going to do here very soon is to go right into the first channel where we bring in, number one, we do our healing circle. This is where we come in for ourselves. This is for us. Real simple. And the healing circle is to send this energy around so that each one of us can grab a piece of this, align our own energy very clearly in this process, and work with it in that way. So there's a lot going on with this that we'll be talking about here coming up too. So much is taking place on planet Earth. We're going to try and cover as much as we can here as well. I will also tell you that the topic of the second channel today, because they really want to cover this. We're going to work on it in the first one, but we're also going to really talk about it in the second one. There is something going on with planet Earth. Now, we're not really tuned into that because we're watching all this crazy stuff that's going on. We're watching Ukraine and Russia. We're watching elections coming up. We're watching all this stuff that's taken our attention here in different ways. And all of this is having an effect on the Earth. That's what the group wants to talk about today, is how we're having an effect on the Earth, how we have accidentally, I will say unintentionally, maybe not accidentally, but unintentionally pulled a little bit away from Earth and created a little bit of a disconnection as just simply as a natural ride of the waves that are on this side of the veil. We basically hit this top of the wave and we're a little further distant from Earth. We're feeling that connection. That connection is causing all sorts of stuff. One of the things that it's really contributing to massively on our planet right now is mental illness. It is absolutely exploding this because what happens here is your physical body is of the Earth. It's very simple. We talk about, you've heard the dust to dust, ashes to ashes story. The physical part of you emanated from the Earth. So there's a strong, strong connection. There's really no way, and the group's laughing a little bit about our desire to go live on Mars. They said, this is great because we're going to learn a lot of things, but we're really not going to be living there. not in the ways we're thinking of. We're actually going to learn a lot about the universe, a lot about ourselves and so forth by doing that. But they say you're not actually going to live there because you're actually a physical part of Earth. So there's a little bit of that they want to talk about, the natural progression. This is not something that's nefarious or evil or anything else of this nature. This is a natural progression, but the group wants to make you aware of it because I think a lot of people have been feeling it. Nobody really kind of knows what to put their hands on or what's wrong or what's different, but the group wants to talk specifically about that today. They want to talk specifically about the disconnection from Earth, how we're taking it and why it's happening and what she is doing during that time. So we're going to talk about that during the second one. The first channel we're going to bring in, we're going to do that right now here. So if I need to calm down a little bit. I get really excited when we start these sessions, but then I have to calm down or the group won't come in. That basically, I'll sit here and I'll go, okay, I'm ready. And they'll go, just breathe. And the whole time I'm ticking off seconds while you guys are waiting. And I'm going, okay, we got to figure this out. So we have a little different connection with that now. They won't let me start until I actually calm down a little bit. We're there. Let's do that together, shall we? Let's just take a breath. Just kind of release all the energy from all the getting ready for whatever it was we were getting ready from. And take a couple deep breaths and activate our vagus nerve. We do that simply by taking a fast breath in and a very slow breath out. Here we go. Can you feel it? Boy, I can. My energy changed that fast. And also, we're going to be coming up with sharing with you a new way to reach a very deep level of meditation very quickly, called the spiral meditation. Got a lot of information coming up where I'm not sure where it's all going to be, but keep watching and keep your name on the mailing list so we can notify you when we finally do figure out where all this stuff goes and where we're going to be there. But they have a lot of stuff that they have been dumping on me, literally. And it's my job to figure out how we're going to present this or where it's going to go. And there's some really fascinating things coming up. Many of you also that have been taking the EES, I want to just tell you very briefly, and especially Lightmasters who've been with us for sometimes many years. In Lightmaster, some time ago, we started talking about the bodysuit. And we were going to do a whole segment on the bodysuit in Lightmaster, and then bring one outside of Lightmaster a few months later, because that's kind of the way things were landing. We land the energy in Lightmaster first, and then bring it out here to a public seminar that other people could attend. And that's kind of changed a lot of what we're doing now, because what is happening here is we have a tremendous amount of energy coming in, and I basically have to decide where it's going. Well, I think we've got a system now down to where I have spots for everything, because the group does not get involved with all the mechanics of how we present things, but they do let me know whether I've been successful or not, or whether they're—I'll say it this way—whether they're happy with what we're putting out, with how we're putting it out, and how it's getting out there, reaching. I hear all the time from that, so that is one of the fantastic parts of this. But anyway, we've got Allison with us here today. She's got very special piece for all of us, and Meg, of course, is with us here today as well, too, so we'll be hearing from both of them in just a moment. In the meantime, let me bring you just a little bit closer here, and I'm going to take a couple breaths of my own, take a drink, and kind of catch up here while I leave you with this for just a second. Aspavo. Greetings, dear ones. I am the Keeper of Time. I join you this day with a very special motion. You have moved a tremendous amount of energy in a very short time. Now, we know that you're not feeling that. We can see that you see the troubles and not the success, not the advancements that you've made. It's a helpful... It is helpful to understand that you just aren't going to see it all. You have a very limited perception of where you can focus, not only with your eyes, but with your attention in general. So with so much going on, much of what is slipping past you is the good news, the advancements of what is taking place, because you are making rapid advancements on the planet, which is why you seem to have more challenges sometimes. Everything has been speeding up. With that, we know that you've been working with yourselves, many of you going through your own challenges, your own issues with the physical body as well. One of the things that we will do every time we come together in this Global Light program is to bring you an opportunity to not only heal yourself, but to send your healing energy out and around the globe. in different ways to be able to not only perfect your own healing energy, but to share it with others that are there. By using it like any muscle that you would use, you tend to end up with a lot more muscle, a lot more exercise of that muscle. That is changing a lot of things on your planet. So with that, the first thing we're going to do is to work with you. We're going to find an opportunity for all of us to hold hands at this moment and send this incredible healing energy around in a global circle. It's going to move at the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second, 7 times around the Earth in 1 second. So we'll share that with you now, because this is an opportunity for all of you to be able to release anything that you've been working with that you may be tired of. You maybe have a difficult time, or you don't think you're making any advances in your own health. This is an opportunity to bring everyone else in. Now, it does need one thing from you, because all healing must be requested. Yes. And by doing so, what we're going to ask you to do is to take any issue that you can put your hands on, an ache in the shoulder, a backache, a headache, whatever it is that you've been dealing with on a physical level, ask you to bring that forward and place it in the circle. Take a breath. Close your eyes right now for just a moment. Find the center of your energy. Excellent. And with that, take anything that you wish to rid yourself of and place it in that circle right now. Excellent. Take a deep breath. And as you release it, blow that energy into that circle as well, so that you're covering up this thing that you put in the circle. Excellent. And now we're going to take a very cleansing breath, very deep breath, and blow it forcefully onto this object. Here we go. In through the nose and out through the mouth. Forcefully. With that, you can see it change ever so slightly. You can see it start to melt and blend into the rest of the energy. That's an opportunity for your own energy and your own physical being to reset the rhythms in that energy. Excellent. Take a deep breath and just release it and let it go. And be willing to live in health. It takes a conscious choice, besides the healing, to walk forward in a different rhythm, because there's comfort in the known and discomfort in the unknown until you explore it. Excellent. And now, dear ones, let's take the next part of this healing circle, because obviously you're not on this planet alone. There are many that you care about, many that also influence you in different ways. Maybe their own physical health or emotional health is causing stresses in your life or interfering in your life in some way. The only thing about this, dear ones, is it's not possible to send complete healing energy to anyone unless they are open for it. You're on the planet of free choice. It is not possible to heal another without their direct permission to do so. So we ask you to think about that and just ask them permission to bring them into the next healing circle, or those that have given you permission to do that now. And to simply put their image into the circle. It's a rather large circle. Now, what if you haven't asked for their permission? Well, you can still put them in the circle, but it will have a different effect, because it will have more effect on you than it will actually have on them. Well, because you are the one putting it in there, it's your intent to do something with that. So it will change that slightly, which sometimes is a good thing, because many times you're over attached to other people and want to bring them all the fun things that you've learned or have experienced in some way. You want to make their lives easier for people that you care about, of course. And yet, that would almost steal them of the opportunity for them to learn it themselves in different ways. So with that, let's take an opportunity to do a healing circle for everyone else that we wish to bring into this. And go ahead and bring that in right now. Let's go ahead and put their image into the circle. ask them to step forward into the circle at this moment. And with that, also reach out. Now keep your hands up in the air. They'll get very exhausted. But reach out energetically. If there's other people in the room, touch their hands for just a moment and then release. If there's nobody else in the room, reach out and let us touch your hands and connect you together as an incredible family of light. Take a deep breath. Release it very slowly. And with that, open your heart chakra and beam all the love that you can into that circle, all the way around the globe. Everyone. Whether you have someone in that circle or not, open your heart and beam that healing energy. What this does, dear ones, is to interrupt the rhythms. People get into rhythms. If you've ever known anybody who is depressed, and we tell you almost all of you have known people who have been depressed. Many of you have experienced depression, clinical depression, even yourselves. So with that, you'll know that there is much energy is a rhythm. Many times it takes something to change that rhythm. And there are many times on your planet where you will bring a catastrophe into your life so that you have something else to focus on. And all of it is as it should be. There's nothing wrong with any of it because you're playing a grand game of pretending to be a human. You see, we're never worried about your spirit. Your spirit is perfect. It's the humanness that changes. So in these rhythms, what that means is you get up in the morning, you even have a rhythm of thought. And in those areas, it's very helpful to become aware of this so you can start to consciously change it. Because that's what you're doing when we put you in the healing circle, whether it's you or someone you've brought. We beam all that light energy to you to fill you full of light so that your rhythm changes. You walk forward with a different pace than you walk into the circle with. And that's very profound. So once again, while they're in the circle, open that heart chakra and just beam as much light in there as you can. Unconditional love on all aspects will heal many things. Beautiful. Now take a deep breath and release it very slowly. Excellent. Well done. Now, as we've mentioned, talking about rhythms, we're going to get a little further into the rhythms of the earth in the next time we come together here in just a little bit. But we also want to tell you about this here because you have a profound effect with this. You see, the earth has a rhythm, a very big lady, different rhythm than the humans, and yet in a perfect harmony. You see, you think of the earth as being this big ball and you being these little people walking around on this big ball, but you are multidimensional and so is she. There's not just one earth. It depends on what perception you're looking at it from to be able to see where that is. So with that, what happens is when she evolves, because everyone is evolving, everyone has to change rhythms. It's very simple. You don't do the same things you did before. Sometimes you even talk about your rhythms of thought, because your rhythms of thought are what you experience when you wake up in the morning. Your natural thoughts go to, oh, what am I going to do today? How am I going to work with this? What bodysuit am I going to put on to play the game today? And to be able to play that in different ways, it's very frustrating and very confusing for people. So what we're going to do here right now, and we will come back to this later today and bring even more information about this because it's a critical piece that's happening on planet Earth right now, which very few people are aware of or talking about. As we've mentioned, there's many distractions going on, are there not? But your connection to the Earth is critical, not only to you, but to her. And she's making some very interesting decisions coming up. So we'll tell you a little bit more about that in the future. But right now, let's focus on finding a new harmony with the earth. For every human out there, you're carrying this physical body that was made of the elements of earth. Very simple. Your spirit inhabited that body, gave life to it, brought freedom to it, brought the connections of home onto the planet. And those are very powerful indeed. And yet, as the Earth changes her rhythms, there's that pause. There's that moment where you reach for your stability and it's not always there. Well, that causes all sorts of things to take place. But right now, what we're going to do is to simply give you an opportunity to shift your rhythm slightly to match the Earth. Take a deep breath. Once again, just release it. And again, in through the nose and out through the mouth. This time a very fast one, in through the mouth and out through the mouth. In through the mouth and out very slowly. Can you feel that energy moving through your system right now? Yes, that's adrenaline that you did when you took that big, deep breath. Perfect. Excellent. And now open the heart chakra and make a very deep connection with the planet herself. It is time. Slow yourself down. She's a very big lady. Her rhythms are quite different than yours, and yet in a harmony. What happens if they move slightly out of that harmonic? They jump into another dimension. We'll be bringing much more of that coming in the future. But right now, it's about the connection, because it not only aids you in your journey on the Earth, but it aids her. It gives her a base the same way. So another deep breath. As you let it out very slowly, feel that deep connection. Whatever part of your physical body is making contact with the ground, whether it's through your feet or with your sitting on the ground, wherever it is, bring that energy up through the surface of the Earth and let her introduce her new rhythms to you, so that you can feel where she is at this moment. And that's all that's necessary, because you're part of the Earth as well. That will automatically adjust, automatically find that rhythmic harmony. Now take a deep breath. And again, release it very slowly. Anchor in that deep feeling of love and that strong connection with the planet that you already have. Well done, dear ones. Take a deep breath and blow it out forcefully. You walk forward with that new connection with the Earth, with that new harmonic supporting you, and you supporting her. Just get you a little bit closer, missing some of those incredible balanced feelings that you were missing. Well done, dear ones. Well done. The energy is here. You have made it. Whether you traveled back 300 years from the future, or whether you just lined it up so you would be here, your space has been reserved on this planet. Your name was on that chair before you were ever born, and you made it. Welcome home, dear ones. Welcome home. There's a lot of wonderful things that are taking place. We will try to bring to you as many as we can to remind you of your magnificence and the wonderful effects you're having on the planet. Yes, there's a lot of what you would call bad news or difficult news or degrading news. And yet, that's part of the signs of the time. Everything is moving faster. Not just the bad news, the good news as well. But humans are typically focused on the negativity. As we mentioned many times, part of the reason you're in this situation now has to do with the internet, which you are watching this on right at the moment. On the internet, fake news or made-up news travels 7 times farther and faster than real news. That simply tells you what you're ready for. You're ready for that next step. You're creating it, whether it's ready or not. And all it takes for some people to put some strange ideas out there for you to take as creator beings and start to manifest them in your world. And it's been happening over and over again. But this is part of the reason that the Earth is changing rhythms herself. I'll tell you much more about that coming up. But for now, just know you've done a great job bringing this forward. The connections to home are all around you, dear ones. Know that that is your area of responsibility. Just your own area right in front of you. It's an incredible time to be alive. As we say, your space has been reserved for a reason. Whether you're aware of it or not, you're carrying tremendous energy which can help to not only heal the Earth, but help her move to the next level as well. It's exciting times on Earth from our perspective. We hope you can see the same. Take a deep breath and know that we love you dearly. It is not possible for anyone to be alone on your experience of planet Earth. And we'd appreciate it if you'd stop trying so hard. Welcome home, dear ones. So with the greatest of honor, we ask you to treat each other with respect. Nurture one another at every opportunity and play well together. You're creating magic. I am the keeper of time, and I love you dearly. Aspavo, dear ones, aspavo.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the astrology part of the Global Light broadcast. It's such a pleasure to be here. And hello to everybody again. So I'm recording this on the 15th, and you will be seeing it on the 16th. In fact, you'll be seeing it as the moon and sun go opposite in the sky, so a full moon. And because the sun is in Aquarius at the moment, the moon is in the opposite sign of Leo. Now, this is a different time for everybody around the globe, according to time zones, etc. So I can never be exact, but it might be fun just to have a look at, just Google locally what time the exact full moon is, because it may well be when this program is being aired. So it would be nice to think about what a moon in Leo and a sun in Aquarius is all about. So we'll look briefly at that. But there's something else I want to look at as well. When the virtual light broadcast ended its days and I was moved to the global light broadcast, which is great, the broadcasting actually had to happen more in the middle of the month. And so Steve and I spoke and he said, what do you think? And I said, well, do you know, I don't know, because the public is used to getting their horoscopes, if you like, at the end of the month or the beginning of the month. And this actually goes back to the early 1900s. Now, we've actually had astrology in use for many thousands of years, at least 6,000 that we know of. We have evidence for 6,000, but probably it goes back 10,000 years. However, we discover new ways of using it all the time because it lends itself. It has keywords, but it is flexible enough to lend itself to new interpretations. And in the 1900s, it's the early 2000s. I'm telling you wrong. It's the 20th century. I get this right in the end. The early 1900s. I'm telling you right now. An astrologer was approached by the editor of a magazine, which was going to come out monthly, and said, "Could you do something with astrology, prediction-wise?" The astrologer said, yeah, I can do something based on the rotation of the sun or the earth around the sun. And so therefore, yeah, we can do monthly horoscopes. And that's how monthly and weekly horoscopes began. Really, they were written for the magazines and written for when the magazines were going to be published. Now, here we are on the Global Light broadcast. And this, for me, this is something of a first, because you won't get many astrology reports happening more or less in the middle of the month, slightly towards the end perhaps, which is actually in astrology the more sensible time to have a monthly horoscope. And this is because the Sun Move sign in the later part of the month. So for instance, I'm just checking my notes because I don't want to get this wrong. This year, on the 18th of February, so in 3 days, the Sun moves out of Aquarius and into Pisces. Now, it makes much more sense to me, since that is the beginning of a just over four week period when the Sun is in Pisces, it makes more sense to me to have the astrology then. But I didn't think about that because I was so used to living in a world where actually it's all about the beginning or the end of the month, ready for the next month. And actually, now I've got into it, I'm finding it a lot more interesting, because the period ahead until the next global light broadcast is when the Sun is in Pisces. And so it's much more easy to talk about the transition from the Sun being in Aquarius and how that has felt for us, and the Sun being in Pisces and what we have to look ahead to. And so I thought, you know, this is fascinating. So we could have a first here. We could be the only show doing astrology according to astrology's laws. Wouldn't that be amazing? Actually doing it at the end of the solar month in the zodiac sign, which is different to the Julian calendar, Gregorian calendar. And you know, I'm going to be wrong on that one as well. Whichever calendar we're using in the West now. Oh dear, clearly my head isn't really with the rest of me today. Anyway, so what I said we would look at would be the Sun in Aquarius and the Moon in Leo and what that means. Now, we only get one full moon in each zodiac sign a month, 12 times a year. And so there are very specific things that the Sun in this sign and the Moon in that sign wants to say, and it's only going to say it once a year. 6 months after we get this, the Sun in Aquarius and the Moon in Leo, we'll get the Sun in Leo and the Moon in Aquarius. It's a reversal. So, but this way round, what does it mean? So the Sun is in a masculine sign. It's in Aquarius, which is an air sign, masculine. And I always find that for these few weeks, so really the weeks that's gone, because we've only got 3 more days of Aquarius left, I always find it's when people actually break out of their bunkers caused by the holidays and sitting in with family and eating too much. And obviously, if you're in the Northern Hemisphere and you have a winter, then it's caused by winter. But I always find that people find a way to break out when the Sun moves in Aquarius, because they get online, they network. Facebook becomes much more busy. Networking groups used to be. Now, of course, hopefully they're starting up again. And I think people get more able to do the tech. I think we get more sort of tech savvy and find that we can do something that we couldn't do otherwise. So therefore, I find that people are spreading out and communicating and connecting on higher levels. Now, these higher levels can be as high up as you like. You know, you can go through to the cosmos, and then you can go into the outer reaches of cosmos and you can reach divinity. Or you can just go as far as, well, I've got a new Facebook friend and they're in America, this kind of stuff. But it is all about recognizing the potential and the ingenuity, if you like, of the stuff that we've got at our disposal, and using it to make connections. And it's all very grown-up stuff. Now, Aquarius is a zodiac sign. If you know somebody with the Sun in Aquarius, these people tend to be better in groups rather than one-to-one. They like a bigger group of friends rather than just one person to snuggle down with. That just doesn't turn it on for Aquarius. It needs to know it can get out and get some space. So that's all well and good. So if you know an Aquarian, be friends. They are very friendly people. They really are friendly and intelligent. I love Aquarians. But be aware that if you crowd them too much, then they start to get looking for the door or the window. Anyway, the opposite sign in Leo. Leo is much more needy of one-to-one contact, much more needy of an admiring audience, even if the audience is a one. Leo says, I need attention. And I need attention to feel special. And if I feel special, I feel confident. And then I can be more proud. And then I can glow and shine and be as the bright star that I need to be. Aquarius, on the other hand, says no ego is special. Everybody's the same. And this actually makes us feel quite small and insignificant. And it does nothing for our confidence and nothing for our ego. In fact, it can be very soul or spirit destroying. Leo is more of a natural fire sign for us, for the child inside, for the divine inside of us. And although it is more needy, it is probably much more of a human sign, if you like, than Aquarius is, which is much more sciencey. And so what becomes obvious during this full moon, I hope, is that we've got these two parts to us. You know, we've got this sort of emotionally cut off part to us, and then the part which is dramatic and full of fun, playful, and more sort of puppy, if you like, than grown up dog. Anyway, so there's the full and the new moon, and to be honest, sorry, there's the full moon, and to be honest, they tend to be sort of a storm in a teacup, because you get everything rising up to a full moon for let's say 2 weeks, and then it fades away as it heads towards the new moon. By the time we get to the next full moon, you've really passed over all the issues of the last full moon, because it's doing a real sort of journey around the zodiac sign. Anyway, it's always an interesting time because it's always one that exposes things. So I always like to think of, you know, it's like taking big floodlights and shining it all around your life, so you can see things that you wouldn't normally see. Okay, now the sun's moving to Pisces. Let's just look at this. So the sun is moving into Pisces, and I think that this is a move that anybody can feel, because we're going from emotionally cut off in the nicest possible way, Aquarius, into Pisces, which just wants to cling and join to the hip. It wants total dissolution. It wants to melt everybody together. Take all the sins in the world and put everybody into this beautiful, dreamy, mushy, watery place, and redeem all sins and cleanse all sins, and just take everybody and be spiritual, sort of fuse everything together into some great white light, fluffy pink clouds. Because it's a water sign, it has great imagination and a great peacemaking need, and a great need to help others, to be compassionate, empathetic. Aquarius would rather go to a football match with its mates, if you see what I mean. And so we get this masculine sign Aquarius, where, you know, everything is fast and it's fast moving and moving forward and going for it. And we suddenly go pop, plosh, splosh. Would be a better way of saying it, wouldn't it? Splosh. Diving into the Piscean waters. And suddenly everything is opaque. We can't hear it clearly anymore. And suddenly there's a need to just lie back on the lily pad and float down the river, thinking, one day, maybe, yeah, that's nice. This is all lovely. And don't fight against it, because, as they say, opposition is futile. I think they say something like that anyway. The great waters, the huge torrential, great atmospheric torrent waters of Pisces really are, it's not worth fighting against them and trying to do anything particularly techie, because it'll all get manana tomorrow. The waters will come up the beach, and they will wash out all your sandcastles and go, and you'll have a lovely clean beach, but no sandcastles. So for the next few weeks, 4 weeks, while the sun is in Pisces, this is a good time to just relax, think about things, let things go, cleansing, dreaming, notice dreams, being kindly, take up compassionate things, you know, go and help out at a dog sanctuary or help the homeless or donate something. It's that kind of stuff. It's much more loving and holding and pining and yearning and longing, that kind of stuff. So that's great. So we kind of know where we're jumping from to now, and I'll focus on that every month from now on. And then I just want to add, the 3rd and 4th of March, we've got a conjunction of Venus and Mars in the sky. So they're together in the sky, and they will stay together in the sky for a good 4 weeks coming up. That's very unusual. It's something to do with the retrograde program. But it means that we have a lot of energy into looking for things that we admire, we like, we want, identifying what we want, what defines us, what identifies us. It's about the time for looking at the things that we have a taste for, something I actually find I like. I didn't know I liked olives. Now I think they're wonderful. I didn't know I liked Marmite, or Vegemite, I think you call it. It's delicious. It's about identifying something which makes you admire it and makes you love it because you really think it's fabulous. Now, there's a great deal of energy towards that. Relationships in particular will receive a great boost. And in general, life should sort of pick up a bit. Now, because we've got the sun in dreamy Pisces and we've got this picking up a bit in relating, then I think, you know, we could be in for a little bit of romantic time. And I think that's what we all need, isn't it? We're all sick of being locked down, locked up, locked goodness knows where. So time to just forget all that and just get some socialising done, and so some romanticising and socialising and pleasurable things. The sky is saying, oh, come on, you can have a break. So that's nice. There we go. Well, I hope that made sense, despite all my fumblings to start with. Oh, dear me. Anyway, never mind. It was absolutely fabulous to talk to you, and I will try to be really succinct and articulate for the next broadcast. Yes, I will. But actually, with the sun in Pisces, there's no chance. Don't forget, have a reading with me. It would be lovely to talk to you. I so love talking to you. You just Google Alison Chester Lambert. I'm an astrologer, and you will find me online. And you go on my website and you send me a message, and I go, whoopee, someone wants to talk to me. How lovely. And that'll be very nice. But you have to have Skype. We can't do anything else. We have to have Skype because it's more friendly. Zoom's too businesslike. All right, that would be great, and I'll see you next month. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Alison. Oh, yes. It was difficult to figure out what we're going to call this, you know, whether we're going to call it March's broadcast or we're going to call it February's broadcast or what. But I love the way she does that. If she's not happy with her reality, she just creates a new one. Awesome, Alison. Thanks. And I hope everybody's enjoying the Olympics. If you haven't tuned into them, it is a wonderful, wonderful way to really bring the spirit back into everything. When you get into this kind of competition, it's totally different. When you get on that level of competition, it's more about harmony than competition many times. Anyway, I love the fact that we've been watching curling here in the United States. It's just really taken off. I think because last year they won, the United States won gold in the curling, but it's also fairly unknown. If it weren't for the Beatles in a movie they made, it probably wouldn't be known very well at all. But the interesting part about it is it's a sport that doesn't require you to be in perfect condition. Some of the people actually have bellies or different things of that nature. And I think that actually made it more popular. I really do, because it's something everybody can aspire to fairly easy. Combination of a lot of different things like pool, chess. There's a lot of different aspects of it. But I wanted to show you this too, because Hamischer Schlemmer has this catalog, great catalog with trinkets, just fun little gadgets and things that they have. But anyway, they have the first air hockey game. In other words, it's like an air hockey, but it's for curling. The first one is out already. So amazing is what we can do to work with these things. So anyway, thanks so much, Allison, for being a part of that. We've got Meg coming up here in a minute, and then we'll come back with the final channel for the day. But a spav, everybody, and thanks for being with us. Here's Meg.
Hi, everybody. So nice to be here with you again at the Global Light Broadcast for March. It's truly such an honor and a pleasure to be able to come into your homes and into your lives and into your present moment and connect with you through an organization that Steve has built that reaches so many people across the globe on such a massive scale. It truly is such an honor. So let me start first by saying thank you, since we are currently in the month of February. And I always, always, always remember Barbara for the February broadcast coming on and talking about how it is the month of love and appreciation. And she would always remind us to really express that out. So let me do that right up front and just say thank you to each of you. I will take that lesson from such a beautiful mentor and pay it forward by thanking you for welcoming me into your home and into your heart. Now, what I'd like to talk about in my segment today is the concept of generational healing. So what does that mean? What does that actually mean? What does that connotate for you when I say the words generational healing? As a clinical hypnotherapist, what that means to me is the potential that every time we heal a fear or anything that upsets us, anything that's a trigger, anything that causes a flare or a rise in emotion or illness, anything in our body where we feel unwell, anytime we heal one of those, it inherently also heals the past. So I want you to think about that concept and the benefits that holds. So every generation influences the next generation. In fact, the Native American culture believed that spans into 7 generations. So anytime you heal something that you are currently working with through your life lesson, through your soul's growth this time, this life, you are also helping heal generations to come and generations in the past, our ancestral lineage. In hypnotherapy, when we say that we are healing something, that what that means is we are collapsing. It includes collapsing the programming around it, collapsing the separate consciousness. And when we collapse separate consciousness, that contributes to the collective conscious healing. We are wired to care about each other. It's why it feels so wrong when we are always in opposition or in conflict. We are wired to care about each other. In fact, we have an old tribal mentality programming in all of our collective consciousness that if we go beyond being egocentric, right? Egocentric is when we're babies. Our well-being relies on our authority figures, our parents or our guardians who are taking care of us or looking out for us. Our everything, we rely on them for everything. And then we start to move out of that and we get into a new collective consciousness. And as we expand out of ego, we move into ethno. And ethnocentric means what's better for the tribe, what's better for our survival and well-being as a group, as a collective. Now, what does that mean when we look at collective of humanity as a species, right? We are wired to care ethnocentrically about our well-being and our meaning, our species. And then we become world-centric. We start to care about our planet and all the species on the planet. And we begin to recognize, coming out of ego, out of ethno, and into world-centric, we begin to care about the well-being of everyone and everything, starting to understand that we have no more rights than anyone else. There is no hierarchy of better or lower. It's interesting to me always that some humans tend to believe they are smarter than nature and animals, and I beg to differ, because nature doesn't compete with itself to its own demise, and that to me is inherent ethnocentric wisdom, right? It recognizes that the survival of all is logical. So genetic, getting in back into generational healing, we have to talk about genetic memory, because this is what influences from our past and influences our future. Think about things like when you're considering what your parents' health was and their parents' health. And we think about genetics in terms of wellness. Say, for example, there is a history of heart conditions in your family or blood pressure conditions in your family. Western medicine will say that you are susceptible to this because it is in your genetic disposition. But I want to turn that around a little bit. One, we know because of way showers and pioneers like Dr. Bruce Lipton talking about epigenetics, right? He's a biologist, and his science has shown over time that it's not about what's in our genes. It's about our perception of our current environment influences our well-being. In other words, we may develop high blood pressure because of the way we manage our stress, because of our limiting beliefs around our capabilities and how we perceive the current environment as unsafe, versus we are predisposed because of our genetic line. It is more about consciousness than it is about genes. Now, generationally speaking, what became really interesting is that science still believes that we have junk DNA. And it's beginning to position that it's perhaps possible that memory is being stored in that junk DNA. And proclivities in response from one generation to another that are not being consciously taught. It's just stored. So therefore, subconscious programming would recognize it. Those memories would be part of our subconscious mind. We are not consciously aware of that. And they started to prove that. Princeton University did research back in the 1950s, and they taught a group of mice how to run a maze. So they introduced them to the maze, and they trained them to learn the maze. And in the beginning, that took 30 to 40 minutes for that group of mice to run that maze. Now, mice can procreate every 90 days. They can produce a new litter. So that next generation of mice were introduced to the maze. And they started at 30 to 40 minutes, but then they quickly advanced and were able to run that maze in 20 minutes. And then the third generation of mice were introduced to the maze. And they didn't start at 30 or 40 minutes like new mice learning a new maze. They picked up where the last generation left off. So they started the maze at 20 minutes. They were able to shorten it to 15. And the next generation of mice started that maze, first introduction, ran it in 15 minutes. So we are picking up where our ancestors have left off. Isn't that fascinating? So what was even more interesting is that 40 years later in Australia, a group of scientists worked to debunk that theory that we could potentially be storing memories in our junk DNA that allows us to remember and pick up where our ancestors left off. It is an inherent knowingness, a consciousness. So they gathered a group of mice, same species of mice, built the maze to precisely the same specs. This is 40 years later, and the mice picked up precisely where the last generation of its species was. It learned the maze in 15 minutes. The group of mice ran the maze in 15 minutes. Now, why is that? And this wasn't even from the same generation of mice, right? These weren't produced from the same mice. This was just the same species. Well, we as humans are all the same species. And we inherently have this same ability. So we not only pick up where our ancestors left off, we not only heal and heal the past and heal going forward, we also heal collectively. We contribute to our species and the advancement of our species. Now, I know as spiritual beings watching this show, that probably sounds very logical and like, yeah, Meg, we knew that all along. But isn't it nice to know that science is backing that theory now? And that when you now, thinking about your life, your programming, your self-limiting beliefs, what isn't working in your life and what is getting in the way of it, when you begin to tackle that, when you begin to let go of the beliefs that it's just the way that it is, I inherited these genes from my family, I have a weakness around this or that, it's not possible for me to access this or that, remember, all of this now takes that and says, no, it's more about how you perceive your environment and your response to it. And your perception is based on programming that you not only picked up in this lifetime through experiences in this childhood, but also you may have collective, unconscious programming from ancestral lines laying in your junk DNA that allows you now to access it, heal it, and heal the collective as well. Isn't that something worth investigating? Isn't it worth recognizing that it's how you perceive from your personal perceptions based on lifetimes leading up to today, and you are picking up where the last generations left off, and you now take responsibility to create a life that you love, to create the healing that you are in need of, to create the belief systems around being capable and worthy and deserving of the life that you want to be living, and go about changing the programming to allow that, and that it's only perception that's in the way. It's only limiting beliefs that block you, and that not only are you capable, you have advantages you weren't even aware of stored dormantly in your DNA, just awaiting you to recognize it. Apply this to humanity and then apply the thought of what it would be like to collapse that separate consciousness thinking into collective healing. And now, in my opinion, we've caught up to nature, because nature knows intrinsically that its survival depends on the thriving of its species and its relationship to the planet. And we know that as well. And it doesn't require everyone on the planet to collapse the separate thinking. It just requires some, right? If you remember, 40 years later, it was the same species of mice, but not from the same generation. And they accelerated. They picked up right where they left off and accelerated how they ran through the maze. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing for the collective of humanity. As you heal any fear or any upset or any health issue that you have, you are helping the rest of your species learn to pick up where you left off with it. What would that do in the realms of disease labels, big disease labels? Anything you heal, you are leaving that imprint for the rest of your species to pick up where you left off. Isn't that worth pondering? What incredible service that is, not only for your own soul's expansion, soul's growth, and ability to live a healthy, happy, fulfilling life, but what a service to the rest of humanity you are being simply by looking after yourself, taking responsibility, and healing your limited beliefs. And I thought that was worthy of a conversation. So I would ask you to consider, ponder, think about it, journal on it. What do you really believe is in the way, and what are you telling yourself about it? Do you tell yourself that you inherently have weak genes that you picked up from your ancestors? Do you inherently believe deep down, quietly and secretly, that you are destined to age a certain way, live to a certain age, follow in someone else's footsteps? Or can you turn that around now and recognize that that's just a perception that's been given to you, and yet inherently you have the ability and capability, and you are not only worthy of it, you are capable, you are worthy, you are deserving to see just what you can heal and how you affect the consciousness of all of us. So with that, I'll leave you to it. I'll turn you back to the studio. Wish you a wonderful rest of your show. If I can ever help you personally work out some of the things that are in the way as a hypnotherapist, if clinical hypnotherapy resonates with you, please get in touch with me through my website, megadamsonhypnotherapy.com, and you can fill in the contact form and we'll set up a free 30-minute consult to talk about it. Have a wonderful show. Have a wonderful month. I wish you so much love and health and happiness and healing. You are so much more extraordinary than you realize. Back to you. Bye for now.
Thanks, Meg. Awesome work. Yeah. That actually fits in a lot to what the group has been talking about, having the DNA. I'm not familiar with the word junk DNA, so I don't know exactly what that is, but they have been talking about spacers that we have in the DNA. And our scientists simply call them spacers. In other words, information's contained here, but then there's no information, then there's more information. Those spacers carry information. We put information into those spacers, according to the group. So we'll see more about that, but I think it's just great that we're approaching this from different angles and coming up with it. I'll have to talk to Meg more about, find out a little bit more about the junk DNA and see where we can connect with that. So anyway, we will be coming back here in just a moment with the final channel from the group. But first, a word from our sponsors. Hi, everyone. All right, I want to tell you a little bit about this upcoming seminar, because boy, they are throwing us at it. You know, a little while back, a couple months ago, in the EES, in the Empowerment Stream, we started a whole new direction. They talked about the three secrets, the three things that Observer wanted you to know, and the last one was that you are creator beings. That started a whole series of things. Right after that, we went into, of course, the relationships, how do creator beings work together as creator. And now we're actually going to get into manifestation itself. They would like to share with you some of the larger aspects of manifestation, share with you some of the ways that you can use it here specifically. We're even going to give you at least one modality of how to do that and how to work with it. All of these are intended for you to play with, for you to exercise with, to try things on with, and use your own abilities and your own channeling to come through there. But we are creator beings. And when things can balance between our head and our heart, and we can bring them in, we can focus on them, we manifest them. And that's one of the big keys that we're going to be working with, manifestation in general. How does it work? How can we use it consciously? Does it work every time? No. Mm-mm. There's other aspects that come into play. We're going to cover all that. The group wants to share with you what it looks like from their perspective. Come join us, and we will log into 5D manifestation. We're also going to be using some of Nikola Tesla's secrets, having to do with the 369, having to do with working in that repetition, in those rhythm patterns. Anyway, come join us. We're going to open a whole new door. Here we go. Aspavo. Greetings, dear ones. I am the Keeper of Time. I join you for a moment to simply introduce Ilra, to bring Ilra to you again. For Ilra has been taking a little bit of what we call time off. His energy has been very powerful for many things, but rhythmic changes are at hand on your planet. And let us bring Ilra in to work with that. Aspavo, dear ones. Well, greetings, dear ones. I'm Ilra, Rhythmic Service here, at your service, actually, to try and work together with you. Well, greetings, everybody. I'm a little excited. I got to calm down just a bit. Well, he does that to you sometimes, so, you know, you got to watch it. But anyway, greetings, everybody. I wish to talk to you a little bit about the rhythms of Earth. Oh, yes. You've seen a lot about the Schumann resonance. You've heard a lot about the different rhythms of planet Earth, even the frequencies that she works on, but it's much deeper than that. And more importantly, there's a few things going on with planet Earth that we'd like to bring you up to date on. First of all, you're not separate. And you're aware of that. You know that you feel her stress sometimes when she's going through a lot of changes, especially having to do with the magma movement, which has been going on in many different places throughout your planet. That is actually getting things in position to change the rhythms. The rhythmic changes having to do with planet Earth are going to reset everything. Now, we've told you some time back, planet Earth, the game was going to be over in about 70 years. Real simple. She wouldn't support you that much longer. But now we've got a few things taking place. Because you see, when you hit that 8 billion mark, which is going to be about a year from now, maybe a little bit more, we'll see. But when you hit that 8 billion mark, the planet itself is going to make some decisions. She's going to decide her own path forward as to what this is going to look like and how this is going to work. So there's much to that that you can work with to find out how that's going to work for you and what influences it's going to take in your area of life. But much of it's much deeper than you think. And you should prepare for a lot of magic ahead. But in the meantime, let's talk about the rhythmic harmony of Earth. The rhythmic harmony of Earth is very simple. She harmonizes with everything that's a part of her. It's as if you're doing a certain rhythm that allows you to attract other rhythms of the same nature. Now, there's many rhythms out there. In fact, there's other whole planets that exist in the space between the finger and your eye. There's entire worlds that live in small spaces that you're not familiar with. These are actually what your sciences are calling dimensions, but there's much more to that. But the most important part is no matter what dimension, no matter what state you're in, if you're vibrating at a certain rate, you're harmonizing with all of the beings that are there. So what takes place when you have to change your rhythms? Well, that's the next evolutionary state, not only for humans, but for planet Earth. You see, planet Earth is a big lady. She doesn't change easily. She's like a freight train going down the track, and it's going to make a right turn, but you can't make a right turn that fast. You've got to slow way down and prepare for it way ahead. And that's what's taking place with Earth right now. There's actually a break in her rhythm patterns that have been happening over the last 3 weeks, going to continue for a little while, so it may feel a little empty. And even before that, from 3 weeks ago, even before that, you might have been feeling some of this energy as she was preparing to change her rhythm. But what basically took place is she put a pause on everything. So that even though she's vibrating, because she has to exist in this realm that you exist in, she's vibrating in those ranges, but you can't feel it the same as you did 3 weeks ago. And what that does for most humans is you're wandering around trying to go, where's my base? What am I doing here? I know I'm going over here to do this particular thing, but I can't remember why. I don't remember all the aspects of where it's going and what's taking place. And that's because you've disconnected a little bit from the mother. Actually, she disconnected a little bit from you while she's resetting a new rhythm, a new space, a new angle to work with. Absolutely magical to see. You hear it at critical times on planet Earth. So what about going forward? Is the game going to elongate? Is it going to last a lot longer than 70 years? Well, that's up to her. She will be making that decision. And she'll be making it roughly about a year from now. Somewhere in that neighborhood. Somewhere in the neighborhood of mid-2023. That's the point at which you're going to hit the 8 billion mark. When you hit 8 billion souls on the planet, she is going to weigh this out. Because she's having difficulty just supporting all the people that are here. And if you just extend the rapid growth that's been going on having to do with humanity, you'll see that there's a lot of changes taking place. And in a fairly short time, it's going to be very difficult to feed everybody. And very difficult to get them fresh, clean water. And for too long, you'll be dealing with air. So with all these aspects here, what can you do? Well, the reality is the next step's up to her. She'll be making that decision coming up when you hit the 8 billion mark. Now, there's a few challenges about the 8 billion mark. Your mathematicians have basically put it for about April of next year, but we tell you it's probably going to be a bit longer than that. Your numbers aren't quite correct. You've underestimated your count on planet Earth, especially during the census that was taken in the United States. But many numbers are actually missing, so the numbers are higher than what you think. On top of that, there's changes going on with all of humanity. All of humanity has stopped having children as much as you have. You've slowed down the birth rate on planet Earth. Now, that's changing everything. That's shifting a whole lot of things all at once very quickly. And in order to do that, she needs to take a little break. Sometimes she needs to reset her rhythms in order to get this new energy and to be able to cover everything that she needs to cover. Now, from your perspective, that can be a challenge because of the resetting of energy. Can feel, like you said, like your base is being pulled out from under you in some ways. And yet, it's going to provide you with not only opportunities to move further, but this provides the first opportunities for the absolute planet to move with you. And that wasn't there before. So although it's a break in rhythms, we tell you we welcome that break. On top of that, you're also getting solar flares. Oh, we love to hear that word. CMEs, coronal mass ejections, coming from the sun, like it explodes. Well, it actually exploded just before we started this event. But fortunately, it wasn't pointed anywhere near Earth. In fact, it's pointed exactly the opposite direction. So you're probably not going to feel much of that. But that's another M-class solar flare that's been going off now. You've had dozens of them in the last few weeks. It's magical. Yes, they're still in the M-class, which is the medium class. So they're not in the X-class yet. But they're moving in that way. And the frequency of them is increasing. That is setting the new rhythms of Earth. That's what she's taken to take this opportunity to reset her own energies for the next level of her life and her own next connections. Oh, there's great hope on planet Earth for the first time in a long time, dear ones, in many different ways. Now, we tell you, you've never been in danger. You must understand your spirits. You've borrowed these little funny bubbles of biology that you call bodies. But the reality is, spirit is who you really are. Now, with that, your next level is going to simply be more of the spirit and less of the physical body. And in order to do that, each one of you has to reset your rhythms. Now, you're not there yet. The collective vibration of humanity is not at that point where each individual needs to consciously reset their own rhythms, although that's coming. It's part of the reason I'm here right now. So that's coming. But preceding that, the Earth is resetting her rhythms. And we can't tell you how much applause and joy from this side of the veil that we're giving when we saw her take this next move. It's an exciting time on planet Earth, dear ones. The magicians of the game board are here, working in a new way. And with this, please understand that although you may feel a little bit vague, you may feel a little bit unfocused, you may feel a little bit shifted around because the base that you walk upon has moved a little bit. The vibrations have changed in many different ways. But you haven't. And really, the Earth hasn't either. She's still your mother. Very big part of the energies around you. Each one of you will find new ways of connecting and bringing that through. Many of you are teachers and healers in your own right, and we ask all of you to take this information and run it through your own filters. Pull up your own pieces of the information that you have for your clients, for your students, and pass it on. Because now's a grand time to work with the Earth herself. One last piece about the Earth. She picks up all of your thoughts. Oh, yes. She's deeply connected to you in more ways than you know. But with all the stress on Earth, she picks that up too. And that's one of the reasons she has to reset her energy at this moment. Because you've got major stress on your Earth. Just look at what's taking place at Ukraine and Russia right now. Look at many of the things that are taking place in areas you're probably not even familiar with. Look at Yemen. Look at what's taken place in many places throughout the planet. And yet, here you are, at a magical time of change. Embrace it, dear ones. Connect with the Earth in any way you can. Know that even sometimes just to go out and be in nature is a huge connection that you can add to her vibration and she can add to yours. In many parts of the world, about half the world, you're moving into summer right now. In the other parts, you're moving into the winter and to the fall areas. Whatever it is, welcome the change. Know that she's a grand lady and that you're there on purpose. Intentionally riding along, setting the energies of the next change. Why is she changing vibration? What is the most important part of it? Well, you see, she sees something you don't. That's an opportunity ahead for not only a new life of hers, but a new life in a higher vibrational status of yours on Earth. It's a magical time to be here, dear ones, as we've mentioned many times. Your name was on that chair before you got here. We called you in from a long time ago. And for those of you who were there already, we called you back from 300 years in the future to be here at this moment. Well done, dear ones. Well done. Now all you need to do is to reach out and hold each other's hands. These vibrational shifts can bring up all sorts of problems, challenges, different effects, different insecurities. And it's a challenge because you're creator being, so whatever's balances between your heart and your head is going to manifest in your world even more now than ever before. So with those energies creating, we ask you to be very careful what you hold in your heart and your head. How does one hold a thought in your heart? It's very simply, usually, it's out of love or fear. Do you love the thing you're talking about, or do you fear it in some way? That's your heart. Now, what about the head? Well, your head's going to take it all apart and pick it apart and put it in different categories and think it through and see if you can find your way through it and all the rest. If you can find that part where your head says it's okay and your heart matches, you have a manifestation that is going to happen in one way or another. And we're going to cover a lot about those manifestations coming up pretty soon, actually starting in a couple of days, and talk about the part of being able to actually build a matrix around that so that you can reuse the same systems over and over again to be able to work with it, very similar to your own matrix that you work in now. Welcome home, dear ones. You're in such a special time on your planet. We know it's a time filled with challenges, with discontent, with people moving in different directions, and many times people being controlled. Oh, it's all part of your game. Don't worry about it. The nice part about it is you're playing this grand game of hide and seek. Interesting part is the spirit can't actually be hurt, ever. Isn't that magical? Oh, yes, you can experience some challenges as the human part. You all know that one pretty well. But now we're going to take you a little further. Because we're going to start working with shifting the rhythms very slightly in our work. All the work going forward is going to have rhythmic places, especially part of the activations that we'll be using, to reset your rhythms, not only to match and harmonize with the planet, but to even go further, to even set the rhythms a little further so that she can learn from you. And there it is. The new connections of the new planet, the new game is forming. The question is currently, where will the game form? Will it still be on a fraction of planet Earth? Is there another whole realm that it's going to be? You're going to be created in the ether somewhere? Well, that's still up for question. Not able to answer that one completely yet. But the rhythmic changes of Earth will help to set that in a direction that you'll be able to see very quickly. You know, dear ones, all eyes of the universe are upon you. If you've ever been on one of your beaches on your planet, you can look for miles and miles of sand, knowing that those little tiny grains are so tiny and so small, you don't actually have numbers that could count the numbers on that single beach of how many grains of sand there are. And yet we tell you, if you take all those grains of sand from all the beaches, from all the oceans of planet Earth, or wherever they exist, and you compare them to the stars like your own sun in the universe, you have almost five times as many stars in the universe as you do grains of sand on your planet. Now that may make you feel infinitesimally small. That may make you feel like you're worthless or just a speck of dust in the wind. You're carrying a rhythm. It's the rhythm of love. It's the rhythms from home. And although you're inhabiting a physical body, you're a spirit deep within. And we're working very hard to help you find that confidence and the tools to bring that out on a regular basis, which is one of the reasons we're going to give you a 5D matrix to work with for your manifestations. So take a breath, dear ones. And as you release it, feel that beautiful smile on my face. And I hope you can pick it up on your own, because it is catching, you know. And we hope you take that and you share it with everybody you can. Because coming in harmony that way will also bring a new harmony between Earth and her inhabitants. To bring a new energy where everybody can take a step together, which wasn't even possible a short time ago. It's an amazing time on your planet, dear ones. But then, of course it is. You're all here after all. You made it. Welcome home. We bring you those reminders from home whenever possible, to share with you who you really are and why you came. We're so incredibly proud of everything that you're doing, standing back and watching from afar as you change the world in front of you. You're magical creator beings, holding every part of your vibration in front of you. Take a deep breath, dear ones, and let it go. And as you do, welcome home every part of you. It's with the greatest of honor that I greet you in these ways. Ask you to treat each other with respect, nurture one another, and play well together as you create this brand new game. I'm Ilra of Rhythmic Service. Welcome home, dear ones.
Hi, everyone. All right, I want to tell you.
A lot came through, sorry. A lot came through very quickly there. I'm a little dazed, so I apologize there. Anyway, welcome. I'm glad you're all here with us today. We have a lot of work to do on this planet, and there's things that are taking place to be able to create that. We ask you, please, don't get wrapped up too much in the news. Yes, there's a lot of difficult things that are taking place today. And yet, we can all hold that energy to come out in a different, higher vibrational status. We can all work with that together as one to create something very magical for everyone. That's our responsibility as spirits pretending to be human. Welcome home, everybody. Thanks for being here with us in the Global Light. A spa for everyone. You are loved.